Welcome to a webcast series on human performance interventions brought to you by the University of Missouri. My name is Elliot McClelland, and with me is my co-host John Wedman, Director of the School of Information Science and Learning Technologies here at MU. Our goal in this series is to help equip people with the tools and skills needed so they can get the most out of the people and organizations they work with. Today we're going to look at managing performance through measurement data, and our guest is Dr. Ingrid Guerra-Lopez from Wayne State University. Dr. Guerra-Lopez has written a chapter on this topic for the Handbook for the Selection and Implementation of Human Performance Interventions entitled Performance Measuring and Management Systems. Welcome, Ingrid.
Thank you.
Ingrid, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got involved with this topic?
Well, I am, as you said, currently a professor at Wayne State University, and I emphasize my teaching around measurement of performance, so needs assessment, strategic planning, and evaluation. And my work really stems a lot from my projects and my work that I've done with Roger Kaufman, who, of course, has been big in the area of needs assessment. So a lot of my work was primarily around deriving measurable indicators, and then from that I sort of really got firsthand look to understand how important it really is to improving performance.
Ingrid, this is John Wedman. Could you give us a little example and maybe definition of what you mean by performance measuring and management systems?
Sure. When I talk about measuring performance, or I talk about a performance measurement system, it's really a management system. If you cannot, or if you're not measuring performance, you're doubtfully managing it properly. The idea is that you're actually using data on performance gaps and causal factors to make decisions about how to improve performance, when, and how.
Okay. Can you give me an example of what that looks like when we're doing it?
Sure. One of the projects that I'm currently working on is with graduate medical education, and their accreditation, they have various different programs. Their accreditation is heavily dependent on meeting certain standards. There's also a lot of evaluation that takes place to make sure that these programs get accredited. So what we did is we created a program performance portfolio, and that's just sort of a different catchphrase for talking about a performance management and measurement system. And in it, what we do is we integrate all the external expectations from accrediting bodies as well as internal expectations from the institution. Those become the performance indicators that are used both for evaluation and for making decisions about what performance improvement initiatives will be implemented.
Okay. So you take you put this into a portfolio, you said.
In this, there's really very many different ways of implementing it. That's sort of the shell that this particular project has.
Yeah.
But the central theme is establishing a framework of performance indicators that lets you know what are, perhaps the troubled areas or the areas that are doing really well. But the idea behind that is really being able to manage the entire performance system through actual data as opposed to hunches about what might be going on or pressures for reactive performance improvement initiatives that are not really tied to specific performance results.
Okay. Now, would it be true that any organization would have both internal and external expectations or performance indicators?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's not because this is an accreditation issue with this particular program that would be an external expectation, but if it's a retail outlet or a restaurant chain or something, they too would have internal and external expectations.
That's right. And, the epitome of the external expectation is really customer expectations. What are the requirements that, what our products and services are meant to deliver are? And that's directly tied to customer needs and expectations.
What would be a good example of an internal expectation? Would that be like business processes and filling out expense reports?
Internal expectation, one of those internal expectations might be to work within a specific budget, to work within specific policies that the organization has for how to carry out a process.
Okay. When you think about the performance measuring and management systems and compare them to other performance improvement interventions, what advantages do you see with the systems?
You know, it's really not so much the comparison of whether this is better or worse. I really see it as being the foundation for all other performance improvement interventions. This is what really gives you the data and the justification for implementing performance improvement interventions solutions.
So it's not per se an intervention.
Correct. It's more of a mechanism that allows you to assess and evaluate performance that then supports the decision-making process about how to improve performance. The how-tos are performance improvement interventions.
Okay. When the normal follow-up question is, well, what's the limitation with this? And I guess maybe a better question would be, if you don't have this foundation, what are you faced with?
Well, there's a really interesting research by someone by the name of Nutt who does a lot of decision-making research, and one of the things that he's found is that the most ignored part of decision-making is data gathering. And he had a really interesting study where he compared three different approaches to making decisions. The first one was strictly qualitative. Okay, what do people think? The second one was strictly intuitional. What do I think? And the third was making decisions based on quantifiable data. He then tracked what the impact of these decisions were 1 and 2 and 3 years down the road, and he found that bar none, the decisions that were, the activities that were implemented as a result of decisions taken with quantifiable data were always still implemented and successfully implemented down the road.
Well, I can certainly see why that would be true compared to intuition, but what about the qualitative aspect?
Well, the thing is that a lot of times our perception about what is going on is not always the same as what the facts or what data says is going on. It's happened that, in an everyday example, you have an accident occur and you ask three different eyewitnesses what happened and they all have three different accounts because it's always different from where we're standing. That's part of what translates also data into information, and that's the meaning that we attribute to it. And a lot of times we make attributions with incomplete data sets.
Okay, so is the key to managing performance then starting with data and sticking with data and monitoring it all the way through?
I think that is one critical component. I think qualitative data is also very important, but the point here is that no one indicator is sufficient to really paint an accurate picture of what's going on in the performance system.
Okay. If I'm operating without data, obviously, I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though some organizations do pretty well with very limited data.
I don't know about that. I don't know that I would agree with that. I think that there are informal ways of getting data sometimes. I think that there's a wealth of information data that's collected inside organizations for different purposes by different people. But the idea behind the performance measurement system is to have an integrated way or repository of data indicators that depending on what your level of responsibility is, what your area of responsibility is, that you can count on. The added value there is that you are always in the position to justify your decisions with data and also to really prove the value that you've added as a result of your decisions, because you can always compare post-intervention to pre-intervention performance levels.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you worked with organizations that are so small that they really, going through any kind of a formal data collection process is not, it either doesn't need to be done because everybody already knows what's going on. It's just a matter of getting together the will and the resources, the wherewithal to make it happen.
Actually, I can think of a recent example with a small mortgage company, and it really was a five-person operation. It was the manager and founder and then a couple of salespeople and processors. And to this extent, conducting a survey to, let's say, track employee morale or to do any kind of data collection at the scope of a large organization obviously isn't required or feasible. But even just getting them to make decisions looking at the data first. For instance, one of the things that we looked at is which of the marketing lines is the most effective in giving you initial requests for information. I mean, it's just something as simple as that. And the information was there, but the manager wasn't using it to make decisions about, gee, where should I allocate most of my marketing money?
So how do I transition that, or how did you transition that organization to a point where they were actually using the information they had in front of them?
One of the most important things is that everybody who's going to be impacted by this has to be involved so that they understand the rationale and why we came up with those measures. If there is no sense of ownership over the performance measurement and management system, no one will own it, no one will use it, no one will benefit. So one important thing is that we got everybody involved in the process so that they knew where we were coming from. And the other thing is that you have to align it to performance consequences. That is to say, if there isn't any incentive or any positive consequence for using it, then people won't use it. So one of the things that we really had to do is, particularly at the manager level, is to make clear what the tangible benefits of using this data would be. And we did, in this case, what was effective for him was dollar figures.
I would imagine that in some organizations, the biggest pushback you find is people say, yeah, we know we need to do that, but it just takes so much time. Do you have any suggestions for how to streamline the process?
I think certainly, starting with what's practical with your organization, you might want to try doing it at a smaller scale, maybe in one operational unit or even one department, and then building your way up as you have established success for that. So I think when people in organizations see that something is working at a smaller scale, then they're more likely to trust the process and they're more likely to try it out. But certainly if no one's done it before and someone all of a sudden comes in and says this is the greatest thing ever, certainly it's going to be met with skepticism. So I would say try it in a smaller scale first, prove that it works, and then that'll be the best, I think, way to influence people to spread and use it more.
Ingrid, I have a question about how to use this technique throughout all levels of the organization. I used to be a supervisor in a call center, and I had a variety of quantitative data on my customer service reps, from how long their calls were to how quickly they answered, and et cetera. But when it came time for my own performance review, my VP basically told me I was doing a good job or I wasn't doing a good job. There wasn't any kind of data collected on my performance. How do you get this a system like this to work from the top executives all the way down to the mailroom?
I'm glad you asked that, because as I sat there listening to your comment, I realized that I hadn't mentioned one important thing, and that is that to have a huge collection of performance indicators that are completely unrelated or unaligned is not going to help you. One of the important things to keep in mind as you're creating this kind of system is that you have to tie it to management questions. What are the organizational results first and foremost? What are the factors that impact that? And then what questions do I need to answer in order to properly manage that? Those questions are what drive what performance indicators you actually measure. Okay. In this case, the person above you should have certainly considered, well, gee, what is your performance based on, and how are you collaborating to the next mm-hmm. level up in terms of contributions to performance goals, et cetera. But that definitely has to be aligned, and what is measured has to be a function of what has to be managed. But what often happens is that we say we need to do or to accomplish one thing, but then we do a different thing, and then we measure yet another.
Great. That looks like a good place for us to wrap up today. But before we go, Ingrid, what advice do you have for those looking to implement a system like this?
Number one, get buy-in from those that are either going to be impacted by the system or will impact the success of the system. And the second thing to keep in mind is that we don't want to collect all data under the sun, that we want to focus primarily on those performance measures that will help us manage effectively. And that should be the unifying framework for what data eventually gets tracked.
Great. That's great advice. I'm sure our listeners will find it very helpful. Again, I'm Elliot McClelland, and I want to thank my co-host, John Wedman, and my guest, Dr. Ingrid Guerra-Lopez, for their time today. I also want to thank our listeners for joining us, and I invite you to listen to other webcasts brought to you by the School of Information Science and Learning Technologies at the University of Missouri.